Right, and we're counting. Okay, same again? Done, right. I'm Kevin Delaney. I'm Head of Road Safety at the Institute of Advanced Motorists, or IAM for short. IAM is happy to support this sort of initiative, and indeed so we should be. Personally speaking, as a retired traffic cop, I think it's really, really good news. I mean, this is traffic policing as it used to be done before the accountants got hold of it and sort of emasculated the traffic cops. If you think about it, the primary role of police is or should be prevention, and it doesn't matter whether it's crime, disorder, or bad driving. And the only way that you can actually prevent bad driving is by a visible presence on the streets of traffic cops or policemen in uniform actually dealing with bad driving when they see it, rather than waiting until there's a serious crash and people are killed or injured and then investigating it and launching a time-consuming, very expensive prosecution. No, it is important that what the police should be looking at is actually dealing with all of the instances of bad driving that they see, and the minor ones then should be dealt with by means of words of advice, always assuming that the driver is happy to accept that. I mean, there is no point in offering words of advice to somebody who's driving badly and doesn't care about that. So you start at the bottom end with minor instances with words of advice, and make your way through the severity of the matter through sort of fixed penalty notice. Is right up to prosecutions at court, either for the worst possible cases or for drivers who really do not care what they're doing and actually have to be dealt with it effectively as motoring criminals. Oh, no, that's absolutely right. I mean, let's be clear about this. We are not great drivers. We do our best, most of us, most of the time. We all have off days. We all make mistakes. Sometimes we actually take risks. And if when that happens, we're either having an off day or we're taking risks. If we're actually caught, stopped by the roadside and given a ticking off by a policeman, then that's likely to have quite an important deterrent effect, if for no other reason than that the next time you feel like taking a risk, you remember what happened last time. So yes, it is the deterrent effect. And that, I think, is, this is the problem with prevention and preventative activity. It is very labour intensive. It doesn't necessarily generate lots of results. And so the accountants who seem to run everything these days have difficulty in understanding the value of it. But that I think is the point. What the Policing Scotland initiative, it may well cost them a good deal of money, it may or may not generate much in the way of revenue, but it will undoubtedly add a good deal of value not only to what they're doing, but to the safety of road users. No, I don't think so. I think, everything that police officers do makes a demand upon them. But when you're talking about sort of, proactive, enforcement, if you like, on the roads, in fact, it can actually reduce the long-term effort. The amount of time and effort involved in investigating a major crash, especially which goes to prosecution, can actually tie up an individual police officer or a number of police officers, not only for hours, but for days and for sometimes for weeks. So, actually spending 10 minutes on the side of the road telling somebody, whether you realise it or not, your driving falls a long way short of an acceptable and safe standard, or even just saying, look, that was a daft overtake, don't do that again, that could actually save hours and hours and indeed days of policemen's time, not to mention, of course, death and injury and misery on the road. No, I think we got it. You know, and this time without the political speech about amalgamating police forces, which I really struggle to understand. You know, how Scotland, having done this, how Wales can continue with five police forces. I mean, you know, it's a God help. I mean, you know, I'm sure the Welsh are nice people, but you know, if a country the size and wealth and Scotland can do it, then you know, Wales could do it tomorrow. But there we go. Oh yeah, you know, I mean, there are all sorts of vested interests in this, you know, sort of. But to be honest, most of the people who are opposed to it are actually politicians. Rank and file cops don't have a problem with it. They're going to continue to be rank and file cops tomorrow where they were yesterday. Their sergeants and inspectors will continue to be rank and file cops tomorrow, the same place they were yesterday. They may all be run from Glasgow or Edinburgh or who knows where, but the simple fact is that rank and file policemen have so little contact with, you know, with their force headquarters and their chief constable. And to be honest, that's the way that most of them like it, because usually contact with the chief constable isn't a particularly good thing, you know. The chief constable occasionally administers a pat on the back, but more often than not, it's a kick in the backside. So, and you know, it is the people who object are the local politicians. You know, who in a small force have actually a good deal of influence with the local chief constable. But when you're talking about a national police force, then of course they're a lot less influence, you know. And they certainly can't pop round to see the boss unless they happen to be based in Glasgow. So, yeah, and it's not just Wales. I mean, I've got a place in South London, also a small retirement home, which I've yet to retire to, in East Anglia. Four police forces there, so, you know, Essex, Suffolk, Norfolk, and Cambridge. Doesn't need four police forces. One would do the job fine. You know. Anyway, enough with all this. I'll leave you in peace. We're up to 7 minutes. Now then, where do we go from here? Yeah.